Okay, so I'm going to do a little social media, Southern social media today since Wes is at Disneyland with his family. I'm going to go over some stuff on my own here, and I'm looking at Ogilvy's PR blog, and they've got 10 rules of marketing with YouTube. And they go down some pretty good tips here, so I'll just share what they've got. Choose your YouTube efforts strategically. That's just something that Wes and I have been hammering home the last few days on our podcast and also in the webinar. That you want to have a strategy with anything you do with social media, and it's no different with YouTube. Create a video as short as possible since you're limited to 10 minutes or less. It's a good idea to try to shoot a video that's, let's say, 2 to 4 minutes. Also have some kind of watermark on there or some other device or image or whatever it may be that guides people to your lead generation websites. Also use descriptive language in the title. That's how people are generally going to find you, is they're going to do a search. And mentioned on the webinar the other day that YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, so title tags are very important. They say to choose your thumbnail wisely. This ties into the tip that we gave on the webinar that you want to have a consistent image across your social media profile so that way people are reassured that when they click on your profile or they want to follow your stuff, they know it's really you. If you got a bunch of different images and a bunch of different pictures that you're using across your social media accounts, people aren't sure that it is really you, and they want to be sure that they're connecting with the same person and that they didn't do an erroneous search or they're not being misled on one of the other social media sites. So that's a good tip as well. Also says tip number 5, allow embedding and ratings on your video. Embedding means that your video will be posted on other websites. And this is very key to getting your message to spread. If you create a really good video, you want others to, as Seth Godin says, sneeze your message. So if you allow embedding and ratings on your video, that will allow your message to become a lot more viral. So this is a very good tip as well. Integrate your videos with other online efforts. If you got a blog, it's a good idea to embed your video on your blog so that way the people that come and regularly view your blog can see this and they can then go to YouTube and embed it if they so choose. You can also show some related videos that you have done. Once you create enough videos that you have a little bit of an inventory built up on YouTube, so that's a good tip as well. It says don't allow comments on your YouTube video, which this kind of contradicts the other one where you have your embedding in ratings, but comments are a little bit different because most of the comments are going to be garbage. Either going to be great video, sucky video. Thanks for this. I mean, people are just going to post out there so that way they get a little link that goes back to their site or whatever. So comments may not necessarily be a good thing on YouTube, so I see where they're going with that. Don't expect people to just find your video through search. And this is another good tip. You can't count on YouTube to give you those high search rankings. You've got to do a little bit in the background to help your video get found. If you write an article, maybe you post a link to your YouTube profile or maybe a specific video so you can drive traffic that way. That's a very good idea. And I always tell people when they come to me and ask me either about social media, search engine optimization, or just traffic tactics in general, is you want to promote your content that promotes your lead generation sites. So let's say you have a video out there that points people to a lead generation site. We'll use some of the other typical online promotion methods, such as articles, social bookmarking, things of that nature, to promote the video. And then the more traffic, the more valuable you make that video, then the more valuable the link is to your lead generation site. So that's how you achieve better search rankings. Same thing in reverse. Let's say you have a video and you've got a really good article on something that points to a lead generation site, well, promote the article. So you can do some traffic exchanges between your social media profiles and outlets. Also, it says don't forget your own best practices just because it's YouTube. So in other words, if you have a strategy for your whole social media campaign, Don't throw it out the window because you see somebody doing something on YouTube that, hey, that looks like a really good idea. I'm going to do that, but then it may go against the grain on your overall strategy. So this is a good tip as well. And then lastly, it says don't create an online channel without clearly articulating its duration. Channels are tempting to create for every branded or unbranded campaign is what they're saying here. And that does make sense. So make sure that you have a time frame in mind for however long you're going to do this YouTube campaign. Like, let's say Wes and I are doing a lot of social media stuff right now. It would probably be in our best interest to share a video on YouTube, a short little video that promotes, let's say, this podcast or promotes our webinar. Since we're capturing leads on marketingvirtualseminar.com, hint, hint, then it would be a good idea for us to create some content that talks about various social media things and tips and tricks that we're doing that then points to marketingvirtualseminar.com. But that doesn't mean that it has to be an ongoing effort. We can create the content now since we're promoting the webinar that we just completed through marketingvirtualseminar.com. If you want to see a replay, then we could guide traffic to that site and create a few videos specific to that, maybe create 10 or 20 videos that point to the marketingvirtualseminar.com site. So that's one thing I'm looking at today. I've been looking a lot at the Ogilvy blog because they got a lot of good stuff on here, and a lot of the thought leaders are on here, and they aggregate some stuff, and some of the people that work for them are thought leaders in their own. But I saw another one. Let's see if I can find this here. They also were talking about Twitter best practices for nonprofits and health communicators. And this is a pretty interesting thing, too, because a lot of the stuff that we've been encouraging people to do for the last few days, they are recommending the same thing. For instance, they give you kind of a tips and best practices. Number one is create a strategy for engaging in Twitter. Where have you heard that before? We've been talking about that for the last several days, and including really hammered that home in the webinar. But know what you want to achieve before you start. I mentioned that in the webinar. Having a vision of what the outcome or the results are going to look like before you even begin. And then another one is create a descriptive bio for your Twitter page so people know what kind of tweets they will see from you if they follow you. Also, I think that in your Twitter bio, you want to talk about your interest there because people are going to be curious by nature. So they're going to do some research on you. They're going to click on your profile. They're going to click on your link to the website that you link to see what is this person into, or are they interested in the same things I am? Is there something I can help them with? Hopefully they're coming in terms of wanting to be of service or be of help to you. But some people are going to want to see what they can take from you. That's always the case. People are out for number one more times than not. Which, you know, that's okay, but as long as you go in the spirit of helping others, and maybe it's just something that you're just going to wait and see when the person tweets something about something that you believe you can help them with, that's okay too. You can just sit on the sideline and monitor the conversation until something comes up that you can be of service to. Also says listen to what people are saying about your issue or organization on Twitter, which we mentioned that as well. Be part of the conversation. If you're not listening, then you can't possibly enter the conversation. A lot of these internet marketing gurus want to be the quote-unquote authority figure on Twitter, so they'll get 30,000 followers to follow them, but they only follow 70 people in return. And most of those 70 people are part of their little rat pack anyway. They talk to them on a regular basis on the telephone. Well, they're not really expanding their horizons. They're not listening in on the conversation, so they have no idea what is really going on out there. Yeah, I'm sure they get, whenever they get mentioned, and a lot of these stragglers and hangers-on will repost or retweet something that they've said in hopes that the guru pays attention to them. And they'll make a comment back and forth, but they're not really interested in engaging in conversation. So that's why I usually tell people, if you find somebody like this, that yeah, you might have bought their home study product, you might have come across a couple of their videos online and think that they're really interesting people, which they are interesting people, but at the same time, they have no interest in engaging in a conversation with you or becoming developing a relationship with you. All you have to do is look at their profile and see they got 37,000 followers and they're only following 60 people in return. How many conversations do you really think they're having? They're awfully selective about the people they follow because they think that they're being, "Ooh, I'm being an authority online, man. Look at me. I got 35,000 followers, but I ain't talking to anybody because I'm too good for those people." That isn't, to me, that's not an effective Twitter strategy or social media strategy because people want to develop relationships with you online. Yeah, if they buy your products, that doesn't mean they're entitled to developing a relationship with you. But to me, if somebody spent $1,700 with me or $1,900 with me on one of my home study products, I might want to listen to what they've got to say. I mean, they're spending their money with me. I might want to find out if there are other ways I might be able to help them so maybe they'll buy another one of my $1,900 products. Gee, I don't know. That seems like a pretty worthwhile endeavor to me, but I don't know. Call me all wet because these authorities in the internet marketing guru circle, which I've got a lot of their stuff, so I can speak to the fact that they do, a lot of them crank out some good stuff. A lot of them are cranking out stuff that they're just hoping that you'll buy, watch the videos, do the coursework, and then come back for more of their stuff because there are a couple missing pieces that are left out on purpose so that way they can sell you a follow-up product. I mean, it's a business. I mean, so that to their credit, they are running their internet business like a legitimate business, which you should, but their social media strategy leaves a lot to be desired. And I think a lot of the gurus haven't figured out social media, really, because a lot of them are not your typical social butterfly. Not there, I guess that's a political correct way to say that. A politically correct way. But a lot of them are not, we're not the popular kid growing up, or we're not the super social kid growing up, so it's starting to show itself in terms of, you know, social media and how they approach social media. Now, there's a few of them out there that are very social people. I'll call Perry Belcher out because he's a great example of somebody that is a social person and is interested in developing relationships with people. I think he's one of the few that has really gotten what social media is all about. He's used it to his advantage. I've come to like Perry just because he's Perry. I mean, he's himself, a little off the wall at times, but that's good. That's his personality. He's not trying to be somebody he's not, which is another tip that Wes and I give people on a frequent basis. It also says here, provide value for your followers. We've talked about that's the best way to build a loyal following is to crank out quality content over and over. And this is a great tip to share, and we've shared that in the webinar, and we've also talked about it quite a bit this week on the podcast series. Also says to use Twitter to start a conversation. We talked about that this week as well. If you're listening in on what people are talking about and what issues are presented to them in their life, it's a lot easier to start a conversation because you already know what they're talking about. It's a lot easier to enter a conversation when you already know what the conversation is going into it, or you have some background into the conversation going into it, and Twitter's a great way to do that. Be dedicated to Twitter. It's another tip that they give. Have more than one employee on Twitter will ensure an ongoing presence for your organization. Now, if you have a large organization, this is another great tip because you can offload some of your cost center stuff to things like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can offload some of the stuff that's cost you a lot of money, like let's say you have a 1-800 number and you take customer calls through that. Maybe you can offload some of the calls to either a Twitter account or maybe some other social media outlet. Maybe you can offload some of it to chat. Chat's not necessarily a social media platform, so to speak, although you can have a real conversation, one-on-one conversation with people at a time, and you can enter little groups if you want to do that. But Twitter allows you to solve problems real-time And if people are watching, let's say, for instance, I run a cable company, and there is a certain area of customers, let's say it's a certain zip code, that somebody runs into the telephone pole with their car. So the line gets split. So we know going into it that there's a certain portion of our customer base that is without service. Well, if I have a Twitter account, obviously I'm not going to be able to get on there through traditional if they're using our cable data service. But let's say that they have Twitter on their iPhone, or they have Twitter for, I don't know if they even have it for BlackBerry, I assume they would. But let's say they have Twitter for the iPhone, so they get on there, they're getting ready to call the cable company, so they think to themselves, I'll go check the Twitter account for them to see if anybody's talking about this stuff. Maybe we're not alone. So they go out there and they see, oh yeah, somebody ran into the telephone pole, so the cable line is down. I've then offloaded quite a few phone calls that would be coming into my call center by simply posting an update or having a conversation with somebody who has already hit me up on Twitter. So I save a lot of those inbound calls, save a lot of the costs that are associated with it. So that's an ingenious way to use Twitter, and I encourage people to do that as much as they possibly can. Or maybe they have the telephone company's DSL service versus the cable's data service, and maybe the telephone company's DSL service comes from a different angle, so they're not out, so they can still get online and do the things they need to do. Maybe that's the case, they can access Twitter that way. Anyway, I'm getting far more in depth on that example than I thought I would, but I think you get the point. And then the last question is, do ask questions and get feedback from your followers. Wes and I have been saying that right along too. Twitter is a great research tool. You can get a lot of insight about your prospects, your customers, people that you are associated with online. Maybe they're not prospects or maybe they're not customers, but maybe they have some things going on in their life that you may eventually be able to help them with. Well, Twitter is a great resource for insight, learning about what your prospects might be doing. And that ties back into the example I gave earlier. If you're only following 60 people in return and you've got 30-something thousand followers following you, and the 60 people that you follow online are the same 60 people that you communicate with on a regular basis, you're not going to learn anything new because those guys are going to be talking about the same crap they talk about every single day. So that's another example of why these quote-unquote authority figures don't get caught up in, oh, they got 30,000 followers, so they must be great. I don't see how they can be well-rounded individuals and really learning about what's going on in your life or what's going on in people like you, what's going on in their lives. I just don't see how they can do that because they're not listening in on the conversation. They are simply following the old broadcast model. Let me go out and get a bunch of people to follow me, and I can blast out my message over and over and over. And maybe people will buy my stuff because I keep hammering out this message. Or maybe they disguise some of their social media status updates by putting out some good content, and then they sneak in their little affiliate link in there when you're not suspecting. So you just click on the link because you're so accustomed to seeing this person tweet out something that, oh, hey, that was interesting earlier. That's how they're using Twitter to disguise their affiliate links and get you to buy more stuff. And, you know, there's a strategy for that. And to their credit, they have figured this little strategy out. But I don't think it's going to be long before these type of people are tuned out by the general public and by the people who really are interested in developing relationships with people through social media. And I'm very tempted to call out a few people that follow this, but I will just stay away from that. Get myself into the soup. I don't want to do that. Okay, so some Twitter don'ts that Ogilvy recommends. Don't just tweet, but also follow others to join in or start a conversation. Gee, what has Roger been talking about all day today? Don't use Twitter to broadcast information. It's a conversation tool. Wow. Huh. Interesting. I wonder if I can think of some people who violate these don'ts. Some internet marketing gurus. How about that? There's also some others. I mean, you've got people that are CEOs of major companies, and I think this is a little bit of an ego stroke for them that they've got all these people following them, but they only follow a few people in return. I think all you're doing is stroking their ego. And a lot of these people will go for the ego stroking activities because it makes them feel good. Oh, I got 30,000 followers and I'm only following 10 people in return. Aren't I just the coolest? Everybody is just digging my chili so much. Well, it won't be long. People will be tuning out because they realize they can't have a conversation with you. They can't really get to know you as a human being. So eventually they will get frustrated and walk away and go find somebody who is more interested in an equal relationship as opposed to more of a broadcast advertising relationship. Another Twitter don't be boring. If you're just posting the same stuff to going to lunch, going to dinner, driving home from work, driving into work, eating breakfast. If you're just posting updates like that, that's boring. I mean, it's everyday stuff, but it's mundane. I mean, people really don't care that you're eating dinner at the moment. They really don't care that you are eating breakfast or you're driving to or from work. But if you have a funny story to share that's centered around that, then they would be interested. So have something interesting to say. Don't panic if someone says something negative about your organization. This is an opportunity, and Wes talked about this during the podcast this week about the traffic commission. And if you handle it appropriately and you're rational, you're reasonable, and you respond in a timely fashion, you can turn around the negativity into a positive and likely a loyal follower. I talked about that this week with a local restaurant about how the CEO had an opportunity to turn a negative into a positive. He just really wasn't interested. And for that reason, I don't think it's the main reason. I thought the guy was out to lunch to begin with, and even posted as much on my blog that he seemed totally clueless. Well, he got fired earlier this year, so I guess my tentacles were picking up the right signals. But you can thank people for giving you feedback to start with, and then really dig into the issue to find out, okay, where is the problem? How can I resolve this? If you show people that you are listening and you will take action on their feedback, then chances are they may become a supporter of your organization. Usually, I see a lot of controversy will end up resulting in a stronger relationship with someone because they realize that you've taken the time to understand their point of view, you've responded in kind, and then if you go and do something about it to where they feel like their voice is heard and their message got through, well, then you can transition that person from being negative about your brand or your organization into a positive. And then finally, don't take all the responsibility for Twitter yourself. Having a colleague or two to help you makes using Twitter a lot easier. This is good advice. I mean, this is a lot of small business owners in particular, and I'm guilty of this to a great degree. I mean, I'm doing web design, I'm doing social media content, I'm doing presentations, webinars, teleseminars, organizing events, organizing follow-up sequences within Infusionsoft, helping other people with Infusionsoft, and on down the road. A lot of this stuff is not my best use of time. I enjoy Twittering, tweeting. I enjoy visiting Facebook. I enjoy doing the live events and organizing those and speaking to people about ways that they can either utilize social media, search engine optimization, internet marketing strategies, autoresponders, so forth. But doing web design, not my best use of time because I'm not really time effective with it or time efficient. I can do a decent job. I can crank out websites that look very nice and all that, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's my best use of time. Same thing goes with Twitter. If it's something that you really don't enjoy, seek somebody out that can help you make Twitter more sensible, more logical, and also help you find some quality that you can spread with your following and make you more of a relationship builder as opposed to just tweeting just because you feel like you have to. You can come up with a strategy. This ties in back to the first point. You can come up with a strategy that can make Twitter very easy. You can spend 10, 15, 20 minutes a day. You can even do it at lunch. You can say, okay, before I eat lunch, I'm going to make sure I spend 15 minutes scouring the internet, finding some quality content that I'm going to sneeze to people, and maybe answering a few replies. And then maybe you do it again at night. So you can spend 30 minutes a day on Twitter. That's not that much. And same thing with Facebook. I mean, you can wrap all of this into one dedicated time frame to where, let's say, at 11:30 every day, you're going to get on Twitter and Facebook, see what's going on, respond to messages, sneeze out some quality content. Same thing again, maybe at 5 o'clock before you nod off from work. Or if you're in the, like Steve Cragthorpe, maybe you have a football coach, maybe at 1:30 when you're nodding off from work, when you get in at 11 and you work, you put in your full two-hour day, maybe you dedicate a little bit of time before you go home and you can get your social media daily dose of social media in for that. I'm being facetious to some degree. I really don't think the guy works very hard and is very dedicated to his craft, and I will call him out nine ways to Sunday, because if he's not fired at the end of the year, then something's wrong with the University of Louisville football program. That's all I'll say. Okay, so that is what Ogilvy is talking about on Twitter today, and I've also got, I'm looking at the Social Media Examiner, which Jason Falls is a social media explorer, but this is Michael Stelzner's blog that he's collaborated with on several other. If you got a chance to go check out Social Media Examiner, highly recommend it. Really cool theme. I like the layout and everything else. But he's talking about the five essential pillars of social media campaign. First is connectivity. You've got to be connected with your customers and your consumers. Who's been talking about that a lot today? Generosity. You got to give to get. Talked about that during the webinar quite a bit, that if you go and be of service to people, they will reciprocate more times than not. Social media is greatly based on the theory of reciprocity. And I mentioned the internet marketing gurus, how they are really not following this a whole lot, because they're more interested in taking from you. Yes, they're going to go out and blast their status updates, and I guess they think they're cool because they got 35,000 followers, but they're only following 30, 60, 70 people in return. They're not really interested in a give-and-take relationship. They're interested in a take relationship. So know that going into it. Honesty. Talked about this quite a bit during the webinar. Be congruent with who you are. Be yourself. That's part of being honest. If you're out there posing as, I think I gave the example of using a supermodel, a female supermodel, using that picture as your avatar or your profile picture, and then people do a little research and come up and find out that you're a 700-pound obese zit-faced guy, they're not going to be following you for much longer, interested in anything you got to say from then on, because they're going to feel like you took advantage of them, like you duped them. People don't want to feel duped, so be honest with people about who you are, what you are, and what you're all about. Personality. You want to be human. You want to show your personality through this stuff, and I hope that if you've been following anything that I've done the last few years, or you just recently discovered me, same thing with Wes, you'll notice we've got personalities. We're real people. We're not robots. We're not automated status updates. And all you have to do is look at a lot of my stuff to know that there's a real guy behind that. Because sometimes I'll talk about off-the-wall stuff like women, gold diggers, University of Louisville football, and my thoughts on the glamorous football coach that is Steve Cragthorpe that better be fired at the end of the year. So, Tom Jurich, if you're listening, please get rid of this clown at the end of the year. I understand you can't fire him now, but please, for the love of God, get us a real football coach at the end of the season. Anyway, enough on that tangent. But be human. I mean, if you've got some thoughts and opinions, strong opinions on stuff, don't be afraid to share that. That's human interaction. I mean, we've all got opinions. They're just like rear ends, if you've heard the old cliche. And then finally, he talks about imagination. I like to say more creativity. Be creative with your social media status updates, with your tweets. If you've got a different angle on something, go ahead and take that. If you've got a strong opinion, I mentioned before, be human. You want to do that as well. But these are what he is saying are the five essential pillars of a social media campaign. There's probably a couple others I could add in there, and that's reciprocate. You want to, if somebody shows an interest in you, return the favor. I mean, I don't understand what good it's going to do for you to go out and build a large following if you're not going to take the time to connect with a few of those people every now and again, if you're not going to listen to the conversation, if you're not going to pay attention to what's going on in other people's lives, then it's going to be pretty hard for you to have long-term success with social media. Yeah, I understand that there are people that want to be quote-unquote authority figures in their market, and that has a little bit of credibility lent to it in its own, that if somebody sees you have several thousand followers, then that's going to immediately make them think this guy or girl must really know what they're talking about, or they must really be somebody worth listening to. I understand that, but at the same time, people want to connect with you. They want to build relationships with you. So if you've heard me hammer this home this week, if you've listened to any of these podcasts or tuned into the webinar and saw that, the reason I keep hammering this stuff is because over the long haul, this will serve you well, as opposed to trying to achieve the old traditional advertising and marketing model to where you blast out your message to several thousand people at one time in hopes that you can get 0.1% to take action and buy your product or service. If you build relationships with people and they feel as if you are truly engaged, then when you do blast out that message, you don't need as many people to be following you because they will listen. If you're engaged with them, their likelihood of going, oh, okay, Roger just posted this. I know that he's a genuine person. I've had several conversations with him. Let me see what's going on in his world today. Whereas if you follow the traditional advertising model and you just blast stuff out over and over and over in hopes that you get 0.1% to respond, well, I don't know. I'd much rather have 100 loyal followers and people that I'm engaged with that take action when I do send out something of quality or of value, or that take action when I do send out, hey, working on this project, want to know what you think. People go check it out. They either enroll or take action or buy the product or service. I'd much rather have that than have 1,000 people that don't pay attention to a word I say. So try to engage with people as much as possible. Reciprocate, unless there's just some reason that's ingrained in you to not reciprocate. Maybe you're not trusting, so you're going to give it a few days to see if the person is a genuine person. That's understandable. And I'm not saying that you have to return the favor to every single person that comes down your path, but you get a lot more response if you do that and you engage in conversations. Anyway, I'm going off on a long tangent and a long diatribe here. Actually, the post, The Five Essential Pillars of a Social Media Campaign, that was written by my buddy Jason Falls, which he is the social media explorer, and Jason's another Louisville, Kentucky boy. So I like to see some of my peeps out there spreading the message, spreading the word, doing some good stuff with social media. Again, he's Social Media Explorer, if you want to check that out, but he also posts on Social Media Examiner. So those are two sites to check out today. There was also some tools for Twitter that you may want to check out. We've already talked about search.twitter.com. There's TweetDeck. Wes and I have talked about that. There's TwitPic. This is where you can share pictures from your camera phone to Twitter, and you can also see what other people are posting that. TweetLater. That allows you to auto-follow those who follow you. I'm not as big on a lot of these automated tools because I think that you can end up getting yourself into the soup with stuff like this. And I really hate, and this is my personal opinion, some people have said they've achieved a lot of success with this, but when you follow somebody and you get that automatic return message, hey, thanks for the follow, why don't you check out this website? That is annoying. People know that there's not somebody sitting on the other end taking the time to respond. So that to me is more of an annoyance of Twitter. Maybe someday they'll do something about that to where you don't automatically post a reply, but there are services out there that will help you do that. TweetLater is one of those. Wes and I talk quite a bit about Twitter Grader, and that's just twittergrader.com. You can go do a search for your own profile, see how you rate, see what your grade is, and you can also go see who the elite people are in your particular locale and go follow some of the people that are following them or follow them in general. They've got TweetBeep. This is Google Alerts for Twitter. Allows you to monitor conversations that mention you, your brand, related or competitor products. This could be a pretty cool thing. And links to your website, blog. You're alerted as keywords appear. Reduce the need for manual search. TweetDeck will also let you do this. You can set up a search within TweetDeck that will tell you when somebody has a mention of a particular keyword, and it'll give it to you real time. It's one of the tools I use. So TweetDeck serves up a lot of purpose on multiple fronts. And then there is, we'll save some of these for another day, but you can look TwitScoop. We talked about that yesterday. You can also use TweetDeck to put a little TwitScoop in there for what's hot right now on Twitter. And then Twitterberry. There you go, downloadable BlackBerry app for Twitter. So that answers my question of earlier if there is a Twitter application for BlackBerry. Yes, there is, and it is Twitterberry. So there you go. There is another Southern Social Media podcast in the can for today. We've gone about 36, 37 minutes. Hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Sorry that my buddy Wes couldn't join me today, but wanted to get you some social media musings, opinions, and tips for the day. This is Roger Bauer signing off for my good buddy Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer. This is the Social Media Ninja. Oh, and before I do sign off, let me get in a little plug if you didn't get the plug earlier. If you want to watch the webinar that we did earlier in the week, just go to marketingvirtualseminar.com. That's marketingvirtualseminar.com. And you can register there. You'll get access to the replay of the webinar we did earlier this week. A lot of good stuff in that. We sold out two webinars within a week, both on the same topic. We didn't get to record the first one, so that's why we gave the second one. We got this one recorded. You can go watch the video, take in the content. Remember to comment, share your feedback just below the video once you get access to it. But marketingvirtualseminar.com. Highly encourage you to check that out, see what we got cooking with the Sales Whisperer and the Social Media Ninja. Talk to you again tomorrow.